And now you can have a seat, because John Paul is going to come up and say a few words of remembrance.
Howdy, everyone. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Herman Hinklefinger Jr. I'm the middle of the five kids. Patrick Powers was a normal guy. Now, if the words Patrick Powers and normal together in the same sentence didn't just cause your brain to have a small meltdown, you might not have known my dad very well. Because of this, I've done my best for this to not be a normal eulogy. I'm gonna tell you my dad's story in a way that you would have never heard from him, because he was always too humble to say it how it really was. I truly believe that God has a special message for each individual one of you in this story. So I ask that you please be open to whatever he is trying to teach you through the life of this amazing man. My dad was a man with zero apathy inside of him. He was never too cool or too old to do something. If us kids were climbing the trees after mass, then he would climb the trees with us. If he got a hold of those little twisted pretzels, then he'd eat them very carefully until he had made earrings or nose rings. And then after he displayed his creations to everyone at the table, he would still eat the pretzels. One time, when he was a youth ministry leader, I think this was before I was born, he caught a bunch of the youth ministry kids in the process of TPing our house, because he was a youth ministry leader. So, like a responsible adult, he made the kids clean up their mess, and then proceeded to go with the kids to TP the house of the other youth leader. One of my dad's defining qualities was that he knew how to live life like a kid, while also being fully capable of handling the serious side of life when necessary. My dad was a salesman who worked off of commission, which meant that if he wanted his kids to get a Catholic education, he had to work enough hours to make that happen. People who just saw the goofball side of my dad would have never guessed the sheer number of hours he would work in a week so that we could have God in our lives, not just at home, but also at school. And yet somehow he still managed to make it to family dinner every night. Dad would do many things at dinners, from breath-holding contests to mouth-spewing water fights. Thankfully, never any tricks with spaghetti. If you don't get that, then I'm happy for you. One of these family dinners I want to share with you all, and Father touched on it a little bit during his homily. He sat down, and as we started eating, he posed a question to us kids. The question was, what's the one thing you need to get to heaven? The one singular thing. And we guessed probably 15, 20 minutes and got nowhere. And finally, he decided to tell us what the answer was. And the answer was, all you had to do was love Jesus. Truly, completely loving Jesus was so simple, yet so complicated, and he continued to explain it to us for the rest of the dinner. And that's the kind of man my dad was. Fully well-rounded. He could be serious and stern, he could be silly, but he could definitely be the most prayerful and thoughtful person in the room. He taught us what it was to be a man through being physically fit and working out, and also through being brave enough to express emotion. He was the type of man to teach his sons that real men cry. I will forever be grateful that I had a dad willing to tell me that it was okay for men to express love through affection and sadness through tears. Now, due to his rigorous dieting and natural methods of fighting cancer, the brain cancer that started with the seizure in the pool was mostly dormant from my childhood. Then, in early 2016, his limp began to show up. By late 2016, he was no longer driving, He'd lost the motor skills to write with his dominant hand, and he began limping considerably. During this time, I was starting my first season of soccer as a freshman at the Highlands. One day, I was in the locker room getting ready for practice when one of the senior soccer players approached me, which was a big deal at the time. And he said to me that he had been at the same mass that my family had been at that weekend. And he didn't get ready in time, he got to mass late, so he was standing in the back of UD. And when it came time for the consecration and everyone knelt, he figured that since he was standing in the back, he didn't need to kneel because he didn't have a padded kneeler and the floor at UD is very hard stone. Then he told me that in the middle of that whole kneeling portion of mass, he looked over and he saw my family, and he saw Dad, who was very clearly disabled, kneeling, not sitting down, without the kneeler that he had available to him. Because he didn't already have enough suffering. He wanted to seek out more suffering to offer it up, and I'm sure, I never asked him, but I'm sure he was offering it up for Mom or for me or any one of the kids or just anyone else that was on his list. It was this and many similar stories that made me realize that the old corny saying is true, that no matter what obstacles you face, the only thing that can actually hold you back is yourself. He never let his problems be too big to prevent him from giving of himself fully to others. Sure, he had a tumor destroying his brain from the inside, but why would he let that stop him from being that best husband he could be, the best father he could be, from giving his time running the soundboard at prayer meeting? Patrick Powers was truly blessed by God to show us all how to deal with the suffering that comes with living in a flawed world filled with flawed people. I had the privilege of really learning about this attitude towards suffering this past year. Because of the pandemic, most of my classes as a freshman at Texas A&M were held virtually, which allowed me to attend college from home while helping my dad as his disabilities grew worse. Before this time, I could have never really understood how suffering could be a gift. But then my dad showed me the potential suffering has of bettering our lives. When we stop running from suffering and instead choose to embrace it, it can bring us closer to others, it can increase our faith, increase our ability to resist temptation, make us more charitable and patient towards others, and the list really does go on and on. Even the hospice staff that worked with my dad saw how unique he was. In fact, whenever he would be sent to a facility to give us caretakers a break for a few days, the hospice nurses would fight over who got to take care of him, because he brought so much life to an environment completely filled with death. One of these days, towards the end, when he was bedridden, he had to be bathed, dressed, and fed completely by others. His formerly athletic body had wasted away, and he was constantly nauseous throughout the day. I asked him how he was feeling that day. His response was, and I quote, medium, close to wonderful. I didn't know what to say to that. I mean, if Chipotle doesn't have guac, it ruins my night. So, another time, when I asked him why he thought God was still keeping him alive, after medically he should have been dead so many times over, he said to me, "Well, God isn't clear. I just have to be open to infinite possibilities." I want to encourage you all to allow that statement to stay in your head for a while. Be open to the infinite possibilities of what God can do in your life. Before I close, I need to tell my own personal favorite story of Dad. A few years ago, when he started having a severe limp, he could still manage to walk on his own though, my whole family went to visit Patrick Jr. down in A&M. I was with my brother Patrick in his car with the rest of the family in the car behind us, and we were stopped at a stoplight with a bunch of other college kids and their parents in their cars. So we had just come from Burger King, and Dad was still wearing the half helmet, half glasses. If you see the slideshow, if you saw it yesterday, or if you see it today, then you'll get the image of what a 50-year-old man looks like wearing one of those. So I'm sitting in Patrick's car, and there had already been so much that had gone on during that trip. We were pretty watchful of the car behind us because of the guy in the passenger seat. And we see him come out at this, as soon as we get to the red light, he was prepared. He ran out and he kind of limp ran as fast as he could with a mouthful of water over to Patrick's car, wearing the Burger King crown mask. And to anyone who was in their cars just seeing what happened, they saw some crazy dude go like this to try to get me to roll my window down. And when I wouldn't roll my window down because his mouth was full of water, he just spewed it all over Patrick's car. And then Hubble ran back over and jumped in Mom's passenger seat. And I don't know what the people around us were thinking. And that's the absence of apathy I was telling you about earlier. Even with people all around, the brain cancer hindering his ability to walk, if my dad wanted to spew a mixture of spit and water onto his son's car, that's what he was going to do. Patrick Powers was by no means a perfect man. That's not what I want you to hear from this story. He was still a guy who failed classes in school. He doubted his Catholic faith for a period. He lashed out in anger and frustration at his kids from time to time. And all of the other things that come with being born with original sin. But we should emulate the way he constantly ran to Jesus to fix his flaws as best as he could. We should imitate the way he fought through hardship without giving up. Dear family and friends, Patrick Powers was not a man who lost his life. He's a man who earned heaven by the grace of God. Thank you all for being here to mourn the loss of my dad on this earth and to celebrate his freedom from suffering in heaven. God bless you all.